There's a difference between a dude who knows how to shoot and a sniper. Patience. Focus. Precision. Quality over quantity.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Against the Grain. I'm here with my guy, my brother, the one and only Chasing Greatness, Amos Landrum, here in Dothan doing the pod. What's good? Welcome to the pod.
Glad to have you, man. Glad you got me on here.
Yes, sir. Been meaning to do this for quite some time, but we finally here. My boy getting ready to graduate from grad school, University of Florida, getting the MBA. Him smart. Swamp.
Go Gators.
Come on, man. But, yeah, man. So you already know, pod against the grain, so... Well, one, let's backtrack. Before we even go to all of that. All right. Let's just... How did we meet? Because we were talking about that earlier. I don't remember. My earliest memory was hooping in Chappie freshman year, second semester. I remember, like, Straw, you know, Cam. That's back when they was the Blase crew.
Yeah.
Like, I remember hooping and you was there. And I heard about you from Bree, but I ain't... What? I don't remember.
Cause I don't even remember, I don't know if we like met first semester and that's what we I was trying to think. It's like I know definitely second semester.
Yeah,
but I don't think I'm trying to think. I was trying to think if we met at some point during first semester, and if we did, it wasn't like we was like chopping it up or nothing after that. So. We just gonna go with second semester hooping with some of the partners with Cam, Straw, everybody. Hey, I missed them chapter nights.
For real. We used to be in there hooping.
Late.
I don't even stay up late, so you know the hoop
system. It used to be convenient, though, because it's right across from Foster, so.
Yeah.
We used to be. But at that time, what, you was aerospace?
I was aerospace.
That was right. You just walk out the lab, come upstairs. We used to be in Foster late night, and
that's how I know y'all was there hooping. Like, here y'all, and I'd be like, oh yeah, let me. Ain't no more studying. I think I met. Well, no, I didn't meet Zell for the first time around. But that's when I had like my first conversation and like actually got to like see Zell like for real, because he was hooping with us once, and you know y'all Huntsville boys, y'all talk cash money. And I said, who is this light bright 6 foot trying to talk? Boy, he was talking crazy. But y'all was hooping. Y'all was hooping.
So that's when we met. Then like, when, I'm trying to think, cause something, I think maybe by the time throughout the, yeah, but since you knew Bree and stuff too, and since I done known Bree since a kid, then I think like, after that point, like, wherever we would be at, like, used to be around, like, oh, I think the main time was whenever it wasn't Julie's birthday. It was somebody when, it was in the north when it was somebody's birthday.
I think that was my birthday.
Was it George?
That was April, yeah, because that's when the Lakers started. That was my birthday.
So I know, like, I came to that.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, just got super tight, because I wasn't super tight with Julie's then. Mm-hmm. But I knew Bree and you. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think you told me to pull up since it was your birthday. Pull up then. And then from there, I know we was connected over the summer.
Yeah, we went to see David Banner.
Yeah, it was David Banner. Because I was in Huntsville. I wasn't with Newcore yet, and you were.
Yeah, I was in Tuscaloosa.
Yep.
And I drove up. That was my first time in Huntsville, actually, coming to see you and go see David Banner, God Box.
Yep, because he came to Columbia. Yeah, he came to Columbia High School. I think I still got, like, pictures. Because he had came to Skeegee that second semester.
That Lyceum or something. Yep,
for the Lyceum series. So, yeah.
Dang.
And I think I still got a picture with him from back then, too. Like, shout out to David Banner.
Yeah. Dang, and that was, what, 2016?
Yep.
That was, what, 2024? 8 years?
Hey, don't say it like that. That's almost 10 years.
That's almost a decade.
That makes you feel old.
We getting up there. But so that's somewhat of the story of how we met. Don't try to keep up because we don't even know. But with that being said, man, We're here on Against the Grain Pod. So what does... You were kind of there when this podcast started. I remember telling you about it. And just the stuff I have been doing, you know, just getting more involved, doing more speaking stuff on campus and Bible study and all of that. So in your own words, from your perspective, what does Against the Grain mean to you? And like, how do you utilize that in your life?
First, shout out to you. Kudos to you. I definitely was around when you started it, but you know, as you shared on your episode one of this season, just sharing just behind the scenes of when you started it, then the break, everything you went through, and just getting to the space where you in now to be willing to live out against the grain again, like that's dope. I think really authentic in the sense of it's not you talking or preaching about a topic or a phrase just for the sense of, let me get some listeners, but actually you living it and sharing it with everybody who watches this. And so going against the grain, I really like that title because it's short and sweet, but it entails a lot. I mean, from the moment we born into this earth, this society, this system, matrix, whatever you want to call it. From that moment, we have societal norms, roles, you know, all of that placed upon us. Like from the second, from the time we're in, conceived in the womb to when we first come out, that is when we are the most free. Because a baby when you can't talk, you can't do nothing, like, you're not expected to go to work, you're not expected to pay no bills, you're not expected to just eat what I tell you to eat. Like, that's when you're the most free. And as a kid, you know, once you start to learn how to talk or stuff like that, you still are the most free because your mind you just do whatever. You see a stove, you go, you see colors, you want to go touch it, and then you get burned. It's like, some kids, you know, you do it again until you get hurt enough, and it's like, all right. Yeah, maybe I won't do that. But, oh, there goes some green shrubs. I want to go see. You get picked or you get poison ivy or something. So, you over time, some stuff you learn, but a lot of the stuff is norms, structures that are put in place that limit you and pretty much make you follow a certain, you have to go this path, this path. There's A through Z paths. You have to go through one of these. There's no deviation. From it. So I think going against the grain is you choosing to pretty much chart your own path. So understanding, how the game works, but also understanding that, okay, if nobody's made this path AA, why can't I? Like, I can take examples or learn experiences from paths A through Z, and I can make my own path, because at one point there wasn't an A through Z. There was, whether it's another system or it's just A and B, somebody made a C. It's the same thing with all these inventions. Somebody invented this camera. Somebody invented the concept of apartments. You know, anything that's not just nature, and even with nature, God created, I mean, ultimately everything allowed things to be created. But in that sense of, you know, if we're made in the image of him and he's a creator, then that's what, you know, we create, you know. But it's having the ability to go against the grain of, hey, my parents or my family expected me to do specifically this because that's what they did. And going against the grain is sometimes unlearning some things, you know, that maybe it was necessary at that certain time to survive or to thrive at that time. But as things change, as the world changes, so do we. We have to adapt in order if we want to keep trying to progress up and not just being stuck and being falling behind. I think going against the grain often takes some unlearning from not just parents, but from predecessors on different fields or whatever. Some unlearning, and then the humility to try to learn, and like you shared in your first couple episodes, of understanding that it's okay to not be good at something.
Yeah, That's true. And that's really, I know for me, that was one of the hardest parts because, and you probably can relate, like, we, very, you know, not to toot our own horn, nothing like that, but is what it is. Very intelligent, good at a lot of stuff. You and I are very fast learners. So there are some stuff that, you know, we pick up most of the stuff we do fast. But there's still that period of like, okay, I am trash at this right now.
Yes.
So for you personally, how do you deal with, how do you persevere in the moments where you kind of get humbled by that process of unlearning something or starting something new or like being bad at something? How do you press past that? And like, what is something that you may be doing now that you had to press past because, you know, you didn't learn it fast or that curve took longer than you thought or you just had to endure that? Like, what is that like for you?
Man, on a couple of fronts, like, very, like, throughout this time frame of me getting my MBA or even starting that process, a lot happened, as you know. And even just fast forward to since I started the process, or even just going to last summer, halfway through, you know, the MBA program, and, you know, on the relationship side, like, just growing, maturing as, you know, a person, as a man now,
yeah.
And being willing to understand, like, yes, the norms or, you know, the man leads or whatever, but if that takes understanding, yes. I'll say, even say overstanding.
Yeah, I ain't never thought about it like that, but yeah. Overstanding is a good word. I might use that. That's true.
It takes a lot of overstanding of realizing you're bad at certain things that,
yeah.
You know, that may work for me, mm-hmm. in different scenarios within friend groups or at work, mm-hmm. or, you know, what in many different arenas, that may be a strength of mine.
Yeah.
But in this arena, it may be a complete weakness where on the scale of 1 to 10, I'm a negative 10.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that I'm intentionally, you know, being bad at anything, but, you know, if it's not what the desired outcome is for my partner, then I have to, you know, not be as defensive on, well, I'm trying, I'm doing this, but also trying to get to that root of, all right, acknowledge that I am trying, like, I'm not trying to just, you know, be this bad, but let me know, like, what do you need? If you can help me, give me some examples, some guidance.
Right.
I'm not above learning, you know, what you need. And then on the professional side, in the past 6 months, I've been filling, still been an electrical engineer role, but I've also been filling in as an interim safety coordinator at work, which, I mean, you know how the company is. That's not a path that's defined, that an electrical engineer also, whether also becomes an interim safety coordinator or just becomes, like, goes from electrical engineer to this role. That's not a, when I came in full time, hey, you can start as electrical engineer and you can go to, you know, safety coordinator. That's not, you know, the path. But being flexible to understanding, like, that when I was approached by my manager, that, yeah, I was kind of taken aback a little bit at first, because, like, all right, one, you want me to do this and, you know, my job, but two, you feel like that I can't, like, you have confidence that I can,
yeah,
do this, when I at the moment was like, that has no correlation, I don't know all of these regs and standards, and, you know,
well, that's a different language.
Yeah, it's like, not for the sense of I'm not willing to learn, but I understood the responsibility that comes with that, and I definitely was hesitant.
Yeah.
And like, that definitely was uncomfortable. That was not in my comfort zone to get approached by that, mm-hmm. and expected, like, having that confidence outwardly to be like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know, you're not a safety person, but I will. So when, with that situation, I reached out to one of my mentors, to Trevor,
mm-hmm.
and I told him about it. And he was just asking me, he was like, I mean, you know, as long as you let him know, you know, that's not what you're trying to do long term,
yeah.
you know, if that's not, then he's like, as long as you let them know that, he's like, well, man, the opportunity to grow, to stretch, to be outside of your comfort zone and all the things you'll learn,
Mm-hmm. It was like, man, that's an opportunity. And it's like, you know, as a mentor, it was like, I would encourage, you know, to lean into it, but ultimately, you know, it's on you. And I took that, like, to heart. And when I talked to my manager again, he asked me about it again, like, a week later. He's like, you thought about it? And it was right after I took the tag for development in a couple areas that I was very satisfactory, but a couple areas that could be improved. He made a great pitch that taking this role would directly
correlate
to that development. And so I'm like, man, all right, let's do it. And so over the past 6 months, man, it's been very challenging. But after the first, I'll say, couple months of just figuring out, you know, the daily, the weekly, even monthly thing, like tasks that need to get done.
Yeah.
After you figure that out, then from there, it's like, all right, I know X needs to be done, but is X being how I get to X, or how we've been getting to X so far, is that the most effective?
Right,
like,
yeah.
So I've been able to kind of mesh what I've been learning with getting my MBA on knowing your audience.
Yeah.
Because me talking to a fellow engineer, the verbiage we can use is very technical and different than if on the safety side, if I'm trying to communicate a message to 135 people.
True.
Who have all different backgrounds. Some don't care about engineering, some don't care about maintenance, some don't care about production, environmental, you insert whatever. So pretty much making it plain and easy to digest, but still getting the point across. And then also being able to hop on calls with managers and GMs and being able to communicate the same information, but honestly in a much more bite-sized but high-level manner, so that way, you know, they're not as concerned with the day-to-day or from this time to this time, this is what we're doing. Not that they don't care, but they're more on long-term, so having to pretty much do the tactical side of for the team, hey, we're going to do this, and this at this time or whatever, and also being able to tie it into the long-term strategic intent of talking to GMs or whoever that is on, hey, by us doing this, this is what, you know, we expect.
Yeah.
And so those couple scenarios were things of I had to get used to not being the subject matter expert and not being, you know, not having the answers immediately, but admitting, you know, whether I'll find it out or I'm going to call somebody who I know.
Hey, real quick, send an email. Dang. So you talked about doing two roles, completely unrelated, electrical engineer and safety coordinator. Then you talked about being in grad school. Then you talked about navigating just the ups and downs of relationship. Those are like four major areas. Plus, I know your mom's still back at the crib in Huntsville. How did you juggle all that at like one time, bro? How?
God.
Hey, shout out to God.
But God. No, seriously though, because there was definitely plenty of times where growing up, never was around quitting mentality. And I know nowadays, you know, we're definitely taking into context, you know, mental health and certain things, but keeping it a buck, I mean, I'm 26 right now, but my mom in a week or in 6 days on April 19th, she would be 64 years old. She had me when she was 37, 38. And my dad only a year or two older, I believe, older or younger. So I didn't grow up around, you know, young parents or from a different generation. My parents were baby boomers.
Yeah.
My mom, it's 12. It's 12 total. She has 9 brothers and 2 sisters. It's 12 of them.
12 of them?
They grew up in Demopolis. They were sharecroppers. Like, they
Okay.
They were in the fields. They went to school.
They was really in the field.
Literally in the field. Like, straight up, like so, you know, it's not even the grandparent, you know, of course, grandparent and beyond, but, like, my mom and my aunts and uncles were picking cotton, like, in the fields. And they would some, at a certain point, like, they would go to school half of the year and be in the fields half of the year.
Damn.
And so that mentality, like, that hard work and that effort translated to all, to me and all of my cousins. Like, I don't have any cousins that just
not doing
nothing, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of them, you know, make their own paths on what works for them. But everybody's doing something to provide for them, their family. So my mom's side and then my dad's side is 11 of them.
Dang.
My dad is
a hell of aunts and uncles then.
It's almost like opposite. So my dad is, he has 9 sisters.
Dang.
And then he just has 1 brother. So my mom's side is 9 boys and 3 girls. And then my dad's side is 9 girls and 2 boys.
Dang. That's like 20. Oh yeah. My gosh.
And so coming from that, they grew up in Jackson, Alabama. On my dad's side of the family. Really not even in Jackson, the city, Alabama, in the unincorporated community, if you look it up on maps, on Salinas. So super small, like, we would go down there in the summer. Me and my mom, we would go down to my grandma's house on her side very often, probably once a month or so. She would go down there and help out. And so all of those experiences, like, shaped me in the sense of seeing all of them juggle a lot of responsibilities, both taking care of their families, looking out for my grandparents on my mom's side. My grandma, she was alive until my junior year, until December of 2017. And then my granddad on my dad's side, he was alive until my 8th grade year, early January, February. And he was 99. He used to be a pastor. And so just growing up around people much older than me.
Yeah.
So just being around, honestly, a lot of wisdom, knowing how to just communicate with people, you know, yeah, my cousins, my age, but people older.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, honestly, the communication part is a big piece, because through juggling all of that, I mean, there are times where at work, like, I had to communicate to teammates or my manager, like, hey, I need help, you know, getting this project done, because at this certain time, like, I need to go, you know, I need a day or two off so I can go study for my finals. And, you know, because grad school is not as many assignments, you know, as undergrad, where you got a homework assignment every week that's, you know, worth 100 points. So you got a lot more, like, grad school is like, you'll have stuff due every week or every other week, but these points are 2-point assignments, 4-point assignments. So in the grand scheme of things, there's not a whole bunch of points available for you to, you know, BS or, you know, miss one. You know what I'm saying? And so being able to communicate with teammates in terms of the grad school side of, like, hey, y'all, like, for this, you know, this project for this next 2 weeks, like, I honestly may not be able to contribute a whole bunch, but for the rest of the stuff, I got you. Like, I'll take more of, you know, the load if I need to, you know, just because I'm not trying to be the person that's
not,
you know,
trying to skate.
Yeah. So, like, on that front, and just across the board on the communication side, but also just the resilience and grit that I was brought around. Right. I mean, being both, spending a lot of time in the country, I mean, we did a lot of stuff. We got hurt, and it wasn't no coddling. It was times where we'd be out there throwing the football or whatever, and the ball jam on your finger, and, you know, this was, and I mean, people, you know, probably thinking, like, you know, you see Kobe in the game, and they pop it back in place. Like, that's real. Like, that's what it would be like. I mean, my dad would be like, come here, and, you know, kid, you screaming or yelling or whatever, why you doing, like, look over here, and, like, you feel it pop, but you back, and then, like, all right, bet, let's
back
go.
In the game.
So, just a combination of all of that, and just understanding that, like, the world isn't gonna conform to you strictly because you're going through something.
Yeah.
Because everybody in this world is not the best right now. You know,
that's
so
for sure.
There's always stuff going on. There's always multiple things. So understanding that it's okay to be in the moment and understand, hey, I got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Communicate with somebody, yeah. But also, like, it may not be the best advice for, you know, everybody, but for me, a lot of it was, if I know why I'm doing something, then I know that journey isn't going to be easy. If it was easy, everybody could and would be doing it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have to go through so much to get it. But, I mean, anything that I've ever gotten wasn't handed to me.
Right.
And so that's just a motto for me. Like, I honestly expect difficulties or obstacles, and I embrace them. It's like, I try to plan for them, but, you know, even when you don't plan for them, if you at least open your mind to the possibility that, hey, I can walk across the street right now and I don't see no cars coming.
Right.
But by the time I get up, walk out of my door, walk down the stairs, get to the sidewalk, there may be a car coming. Mm-hmm. That's a very, you know, rudimentary example, but it's an analogy for life, that stuff is going to come up. Honestly, yeah. Prepare for it. And if nothing comes up, then great. It was a cakewalk. But at least opening your mind to the possibility of everything not going your way 100% of the time, that's half, if not more than half, of the battle.
Yeah.
It's just accepting that. And then anything past that is just, all right, there's a car crossing the street. All right, I can wait on it. Or, if you go out and get something to eat and whatever that you wanted, they're out of it.
What you got?
You know, you didn't know. You can't plan for that, but I mean, that's why they give you a menu. You know, hopefully you go somewhere where you like more than one thing.
Yeah.
So you can either pick something else, or if that's the only thing you wanted, then you have the ability to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So honestly, just be a combination of communicating with different people and just the resilience that was instilled in me.
Yeah. Life, man. So, no ceilings, just levels. We just done a lot of projects together in general. You know, Askeegee, that's a whole week. That kid from Ambassador stuff. Well, let's just run. Let's try to run through. Ooh. You think we can run through all the projects we did together? Like, two people with a work ethic. Like, that scripture that one could put 1,000 fight, two, 10,000. Like, I'm pretty sure. Again, I toot our horn, we definitely affected over 10,000 people just in the few projects we've done, whether it be through reach on social media, like, and ski. Let's try to run through.
Ooh.
I know we did.
Let's see. Ooh. Let's try to think of how many designs stuff on the Ambassador stuff first.
Because we were, so background, Amos and I were, when we were in school, the majority of our internships and some full-time experience, Amos still full-time, was with New Course Steel. Those of y'all that went to Tuskegee from like, what, 15, 16 to 20, 21, hey, even still now, for real.
Yeah.
Probably have heard of it. Amos and I were some of the student ambassadors on campus, and we did a lot of projects to help like market the company and represent Tuskegee and different things like that. So
shout out to Julius Cherry. Jess,
Bree Keys.
Mayo B. Jabari did on Summer.
If we missed you, we sorry, but y'all know we're not. And Jose, Trevor, all them, all y'all, Mark. So we did creative projects. And we did, like, stuff to help the university. We did our own creative projects. Then we did, like, stuff more so during COVID. That was a whole different set of stuff. So we got, like, what? Multiple shirt designs.
Hat designs.
All this stuff we gave away. Like, courtesy of Nucor, they sponsored it. But we designed multiple shirts, multiple hats, multiple towels. And we would just, you got one? Oh, he's been gonna get one. We designed multiple shirts, multiple hats, multiple towels, courtesy of Nucor, and we would just get them away to the student body. Like, they would have some sort of Tuskegee design. You know, usually it was either me or Julius doing the designs. If you went to Tuskegee, you probably got one. Then we gave those out during basketball games, football season. If you was under the shed, you got one. We had a little slingshot at one point in time, so we was doing stuff like that. Then we would get Nucor to help sponsor different events with different organizations on campus, whether if it was a walk or career fair booth or just an organization that may have needed T-shirts for a trip or something they had going, Nucor would chip in, and we would kind of bridge that gap and be a liaison between the company and the student body to really get their name out there and help get different students different things that they needed. So that was cool. I'm trying to think. We did so much.
This was the version too.
Over. Oh yeah, I remember this towel. So this is one of the designs. This right here, this is one of the designs. It's a towel. For those of y'all on the podcast part, you gotta tune into social media, to the YouTube when it come up. But maybe I'll post one if y'all follow me. But this is one of the towels we designed that we gave out. Three tigers. And this one of the homegrown. So even like we had different homies that had clothing lines and brands and stuff like that. We would get Nucor to collaborate with them to give stuff to the student body. So we'd be helping out black-owned businesses and like student entrepreneurs to get their name out there.
Creative Culture shirts.
Creative Culture, homegrown. Fly Forever.
I forgot. I think her name was like Eju that did the backpack.
Oh, the painting on the backpack? Yeah. Oh, that was tough. Gave away like custom painted Herschel bags from one of the artists on campus. Dang, I forgot about that one.
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
We did them bottles.
I
was just looking at the picture because that year, that was fall of 2019. And because we gave towels and the bottle to Desi Banks.
Oh, yeah.
Desi Banks, Darren Brand.
Was it DJ? DJ.
Because he was on.
One of them DJs came. This was during homecoming. I remember.
Here we go.
But yeah, we did that. So we did a lot of stuff as student ambassadors just to help our university. We did a lot of stuff as ambassadors. Oh, yeah. I remember that. To help the university. Then when COVID hit, we were able to organize, get with Nucor, get with the city of Tuskegee, you know, have meetings with the mayor and the Chamber of Commerce to sponsor meals for students that weren't able to go home during COVID and had to stay on campus. We already get, how many meals did we help give away?
We did, so over the course of 4 days, and we did it, it was like Sunday through Wednesday, the week of finals.
Yeah.
So I think we did like 175 meals a day, so yeah. 700.
Yes, about 700 meals. And those meals came from black-owned businesses and eateries in Tuskegee. So each day we went to a different restaurant.
We did Busy Bees one day. We did CK. We did CK two days.
Blue Seas one day.
So. And that was, because when COVID hit, that hit everybody. Because that year, two was supposed to happen.
And then, obviously,
it got canceled. But Nucor had already, you know, allotted in the budget, spending, you know, a certain amount for two. And so, I'm trying to graduate that semester, trying to navigate two senior design projects.
Yeah.
And I ended up moving in with Josh, Mike Rowe, and Ahmad in the terrace.
Yeah.
In a room that, like, the other roommate had left. So I ended up moving in there just because I didn't want to leave. Just because I wanted to, my last couple months, you know, to still be with some of my people.
Yeah.
And so I know, like, me and you was talking, it was just like, man, like, what could we do to still, you know, we know Nucor's finna utilize some money to help out. Mm-hmm. It was like, what could we come up with that can help
like maximize
the students and the community, because the black in Tuskegee, I mean, the you have, you know, residents there, but the majority of, you know, the business and stuff comes from the university and the amount of students that live there and all of the food that they buy or come, you know, eat out at. So specifically, we knew those businesses were hurting. Because the majority of students went home, and then even the ones that didn't, you know, the stay-at-home mandates and, you know, this and that. And so we were just talking, like, man, like, what could we do? It's like, you know, people, students need food. We know businesses
need hurting. Money and,
And we know Nucor will always support anything like that. So me and him hopped on the phone. I think you had your sister.
My cousin.
Your cousin, she was helping out.
Yeah. She's like, she does stuff like that, HR and all that. So Amos hit me up, and I was with her, and I was like, yeah, bro. Like, we was getting the idea together. She overheard it, and she offered, shout out to Kim, by the way. She helped us put together a proposal, you know, and tailor it. And we submitted it to Nucor, and just like all our other proposals, they approved it, and, you know, got the right people involved, you know, students, the president's office to help market it to the students, Chamber of Commerce to get with those local restaurant and business owners, and came up with some days, got a volunteer team together, and was able to give away 700 meals, man, during COVID.
And we gave away sanitizer and masks. We organized that through Mayor Haygood. Yeah. Shout out Mayor Haygood, Brother Haygood. Because he was able to get that through, like, the state office or whatever in Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And so we were still providing, you know, food, but also when people come, gloves, masks, sanitizer. And then we end up, I know, like, from Blue Seas, because all of the meals didn't get picked up by students or claimed by students, so we gave them to the guy. I think I still got that picture too, but that was taking it to the nursing home.
Oh yeah, the nursing home for the leftover meals that students, and even I might be mistaken, but didn't even for those businesses we covered their overhead costs for that day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. So like plant employees, the food, like even covered the overhead costs for the business for that day, as well as paid them for each of the meals that they gave out.
Now, I remember CNK, they one of the days, like, it was probably a total, like, wings-wise, probably, like, 50 meals that at the time weren't picked up. So, it was like, we paid for the whole thing. So, we don't want no refund. We'll just get it and we'll take it to whoever. We took it to whoever, and I think we just took it to the terrace and just told whoever in the terrace, like, hey, y'all come, we got wings.
Yeah.
No, so. All of that was dope with Nucor. Shout out to Nucor. And then individually,
Oh, as far as Skigee, we were part of Bringing Tube back in 2019. I was engineering co-chair, you were finance co-chair.
Yep.
Tube was on a 1-year hiatus. We did that together. Tube is the Tuskegee University Business and Engineering Conference. And we actually just went back this past week, after the year we did it, brought it back in 2019, it's supposed to come back in 2020, COVID, and long story short, it's been like, 5-year hiatus?
Yeah.
So this was the first tube that they had since the one that we put on, and we were both able to come back and be seminar speakers and just help, you know, give back to the students. So that's one project that came full circle from when we was students to now being alumni. Then we did like a bunch of creative projects, birthday shoots,
promo stuff for Marlon, or DJ Scheme.
DJ
for y'all
Scheme,
I don't know.
Shout out to Scheme.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that stuff.
That evolved, because I think the first one with him, because you did stuff with me, Giselle, and then I think the first one we did with you and Marlon was at the bat with Levi. Shout out Levi. Did Levi Randolph's celebrity basketball game back in 2022 for the first one. And Marlon got asked to DJ. And he was just like, man, like this a different, you know, it's new. Mm-hmm. And it's a different, you know, it's not just a party or, you know, wedding or whatever event to do. Like this, we trying to bring people out. He's like, so I want to approach it a little differently. So I was like, all right, bet. I was like, you know, I can cook up. You know, me and Zell can cook up, you know, some stuff. But, I mean, neither of us are behind the camera. And also just from all the stuff me and the kid have done.
Yeah.
That's it. What makes it so easy is, yeah, we friends and we cool. But that doesn't, like, it. That alone doesn't mean that our creative minds are just going to automatically just, you know, work. Mesh, it, the chemistry helps for sure, but it's just a blessing that our minds do, whether it's be on the same page, or oftentimes, like, I say something or I don't have a full thought, but I'm like, man, I don't even know how to articulate it. He's like, bro, just say it and we can go from there. And I'm like, all right, like, this is what I see in my mind. It's this, and he'll be like, oh, and then I immediately know either to, like, let him go, or he'll be like, oh, no, keep going. I'm thinking of something. And I keep going, and he's like, bet. So we could do that and add this. And it's like, and it's crazy. It happened every time we on the phone, even when we just call him to check in, just on each other. And then one of us mentioned something we were already working on or just thinking about for the future. And then it goes from a little thought like this to, from that call, now we both got this much excitement.
Yeah.
And, like, just start sending reels or whatever. Like, hey, we can do that for this. So when we did that with Marlon, did the whole Basketball Jones.
Basketball, yeah. 3v2 thing. Man, I think that's still on social media, man. We might have to plug that, but dang, I forgot about
that. So once we did that, and I think, like, since then, Marlon been...
Oh, yeah.
Been working since y'all both live up there, like, even working directly with you.
I made the most... Matter of fact, most of the bread I made last year just from the media and creativity came from doing projects with Scheme and Don Jr., you know, Black, Love and Marriage, Huntsville, all, like, so... Even this working relationship and friendship and the creativity we did opened up doors for me, like, to do other stuff with other people. So that's pretty cool. Then our most recent project that we're working on now is No Sentence, Just Levels. So let's talk about that for a little bit. So what does No Sentence, Just Levels mean, and where did that come from? Like, why is it important to you?
So No Sentence, Just Levels... Growing up, especially playing basketball, waking up early for workouts, I would always, you know, it's not the easiest to work. You wake up at 4, 5, 5:30 in the morning as a kid. You already are waking up 6, 7 for school in general. But waking up earlier to go to, you know, individual workouts and stuff like that, you know, sometimes it would be hard. Yeah. So I always... lean in and listening to Eric Thomas for, you know, on YouTube. Shout out E.T., the hip-hop preacher, for motivation. So the Thank God is Mondays and just all the other videos and lectures that, like, he have on YouTube. And I would always, like, that would be the first thing that I would listen to in the morning. But over time, it's like, all of that's great. But... you know, listening to the same thing over and over, even he be talking about it, it's like, all right, that's good, but, like, what are you doing? You know, what are you actually doing about it? It's great to be motivated for 15 minutes, but, you know, once you're in the middle of a workout or you're in the middle of a tough situation in life, is, you know, just listening to some motivation, a video, it's not going to solve your problem. Right. It might get you a little pumped up a little bit, but that's not gonna stretch you that long. And so... as I progressed through Tuskegee and then now into the real world and just seeing different challenges and different magnitudes of challenges, I thought it was important to get my own, come up with my own motto or life phrase that I can always refer to and know the meaning of it. I made it, I tailored it for me, and, you know, not taking it directly from somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if I derived it from anything, it's from the getting comfortable being uncomfortable. Right. So getting out of my comfort zone. Because, I mean, the same thing I did at the lecture, at the seminar yesterday. I mean, if you look up, I mean, I'm staying on the second floor. So, I mean, there's a floor above me. And that means there's a ceiling. which is a limit, but there's also stairs right outside that I could go up. And even if that's the top floor, then above the ceiling is, yeah, the roof, but above the roof is the sky and air, and that's no limit, no ceiling. And so pretty much saying, using, you know, sky is the limit, or even the sky is not the limit, it's pretty much limitless. Saying that the no ceilings is levels is, you can remove, you can get out of whatever the room or comfort zone that you're in where there is a ceiling. That's your comfort zone, is that where it is a ceiling. Once you step outside and realize that there truly are no ceilings to what you can do, is only what, you know, you allow to be limiting yourself,
yeah,
then that's where you get the no ceilings and just levels. Because I mean, when you play a video game or whatever,
yeah,
say level complete, and then it got, whether it's an arrow or go to level 2 or next, whatever, there's always another level. And it's like, I mean, even for the games that when you beat the game, what you do? You put in another one, or mm-hmm. whenever they put in a next version, you mm-hmm. want to get that. So you forever
in life. Rookie to Hall of Fame, you know, yeah. Do it again.
It's like for anybody, like there's never been a perfect human, like God, Jesus aside, mm-hmm. there's never been a perfect person. Even if you have a perfect day today,
yeah,
you still have, you're not perfect because you have to do it tomorrow, yeah, and the day after,
yeah,
and the day after. Like, it's just, that's just not how, you know, how we're made. So
yeah.
Saying the just levels part is, the no ceilings, just levels is, take the limitations that you put or that society puts on you, take that off. Like, you're riding a car and they got a sunroof or a convertible, and you go from not getting no sunlight if it ain't just through the windshield to you let it back, then now you're getting a whole bunch of fresh air, sunlight, which is all vitamin B, and
yeah,
you know, a lot of good things come from that. And so you just put that, you relate that to to you and your life. Whatever you want,
yeah,
you can get. It's just a matter of, mentally, are you willing to shift your mindset or your paradigm from,
yeah,
I'm here and I can only get to here, or I'm here, this is all I can see here, but if I step outside, I can see there's this many things. So
wow, man, that's powerful. That's a powerful mindset. And I even like that, the way even our mantras, our own personal mantras, and what they have grown to be with, what we're working on now with this project that y'all gonna see soon, not to spoil it, and just like this podcast and different things that we've done, like even our mantras are cohesive, because even the phrase no ceilings, just levels, that's an against the grain mindset to say, like, this ceiling that's above me, nah, like, this is not here to cap me off. I don't see it as something to cap me off. I see it as something that I can overcome to go higher and to be greater. And like you were talking about mindset, if you want to go to the next level and view your ceiling as another level that you have to get to, you have to be willing to do something different, which means go against the grain of the current level to get there. So I've always admired that and thought it was dope how even just the two mantras that we've tailored for ourselves and for our lives that kind of keep us grounded and rooted, even go hand in hand with one another. But
damn,
yeah, man, definitely love having you on the pod. We talk like this all the time.
Facts.
It really be more than this, for real.
I said, when I hit up a kid, the intent may be to catch up for, realistically, I mean, because we both yeah, can talk. So, I mean, the intention may be, you know, 30 minutes, 25, 30 minutes, just because we don't talk all the time. Like, yeah, it's two people. And Akil has actually gotten a lot better than the other person was. It's two people. I got two partners that...
You lucky to get us on the
phone. Like, when you make that call, it's not even a 50-50 chance. It's more like a 25-75 chance that they going to answer the phone or text back, like,
immediately,
remotely soon. And it's him and it's Keese.
You know, Mark Keese. You gotta text Keese 3 business days, man, early than you want to reply.
Honestly, it's probably easier to get. It's probably easier to send him mail
for real
than it is to get an electronic response.
Hey, I'm the same way though. I can't count. I was trying to get better. I promise y'all.
You got better. But because, you know, the frequency isn't, you know, just all the time or every week. So whenever we catch up, it's like, it's a lot. I mean, we busy. We busy people, so it'd be a lot to catch up on. But that intended 25, 30 minutes sometimes goes to an hour, 15. It's been a couple 2 hours. But it spans so much from, the catching up, you know, the surface level stuff. But then we get really deep on, you know, what's going on, you know, family-wise, personal-wise, mental-wise, like, bro, like, the last couple weeks, man, honestly, like, just been tough. And then we both just listen, you know, being that outlet, and because we respect. Neither of us are judgmental to the point where it's like, I mean, we're not judgmental, but we also know that, like, if the other one is tripping, then I can be like, hey, nah, kid, like, you tripping. Yeah,
and Will let me know.
And vice versa. Yeah. But, I mean, majority of the time, like, it's not even on that. But, yeah, surface level stuff, and then getting deeper. And then it always somehow pivots into the creative side.
Yeah.
And then it just be crazy what it turns into. Like, with this, I mean, the whole mini doc that we shoot is definitely different for me, because I've always been comfortable and, like, my lane is being behind, you know, not necessarily shooting the camera, but
a true mastermind.
Yeah, mastermind is setting up, you know, the space, the environment, what, you know, planning out what's gonna be captured, how it's gonna be captured, what's the best way to tell the story. And so just wanted to do something different. Honestly, a direct. And I remember I had texted you from your episode on this season of Against the Grain, of talking about what we were talking about earlier, the, you know, not being afraid to fail or not be good at something, or just doing something uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That, you know, doesn't mean it has to be bad, but it's just different. Like, you're not comfortable. I'm not the most comfortable being in front of the camera.
Just
that's been the motto for me, just in general. Like, I always like to lead. I like to lead, but I like that the results to show, like, through other people, because that's my way of giving back, of, like, setting other people up for success. And, you know, if they're more attractive to, you know, being on that side, then it just works perfectly. But wanting to do this just to capture, honestly, like, the intricacies of me and my journey. Yeah. Just because now, since I'm on this, I'm 26, I'm full-time going back and recruiting.
Yeah.
You know, got younger cousins, interns now that look at me as mentors. It's like, I have to approach certain things different on just not sharing my side of the story or journey, you know, outside of just my close friends.
Yeah.
That could be a missed opportunity to share with people who maybe, you know, like me.
Yeah.
But that if they feel the same way as me, I ain't telling.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't telling all of this, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, the motivation isn't, you know, to just get what everybody's doing, you know, podcast or, you know, getting in front of cameras now, so let me join. It's like, not even that. And that's why I don't mind coming on here, because it's like, I know yours isn't even on the topic of what, you know, you know, a lot of others are. But I like it because it's not strictly refined to only just talking about, you know, the Bible or verses or God itself, but the totality of us as people, of we all fallen
for real.
Fallen Christians, or, you know, sinners, in the sense of, like, grew up in the church. Like, I love God, Jesus, to this day. But I also know I'm nowhere near perfect or where I should be on my journey. But being able to come on here and, you know, just talk about life and how all of that ties together, really, really salute you for what you're doing. I think it's definitely gonna gonna open up even more doors for you by doing this and providing this opportunity for, you know, people to just get their story out.
Yeah, man. Like, that's, and that's honestly what, doing the stuff we do, you've actually helped me and been instrumental to me realizing that that's what I want to do, is create a platform to be able to help people like yourself tell stories, you know, and share with the world some of the stuff we doing, not for credit, not for clout, but just to, like you said, be an example, because we not the, I mean, we still young, but it's still people younger than us looking out to us. So it's like, how are we going to steward the influence that we have, you know? Like, God gave us these gifts, these talents, these skills and abilities for a reason, and it's on us to cultivate them and then to, you know, use them for good. You know, I think about the parable of, like, the talents, and I don't want to be that dude with the one, not because he only had one, but because he ain't do nothing with it. He put it in the ground, and it's like, you know, too much is given, much is required. Yep. So I'm just trying to do my part, and that's why I like to be able to collab and hang out and even feel fortunate enough to have relationships with people like yourself, because y'all help, we help each other push each other to be better, to go further, and to really maximize our gifts and our talents and our efforts. So shout out to you for that. We shout out actually a lot of people.
Facts.
I don't even remember. Definitely got to have you back on the pod though, man. It was good having you. One of the most solid dudes I know for sure.
And likewise.
Hands down. One of the wisest people I know. Definitely wisdom beyond his years. For sure. But yeah, man. And another thing. One last thing I appreciate, bro. For all, you know, anybody out there, especially black people, even more so young black males, like, love on your brothers, man. Love on your peoples. Because you never know, like, how long somebody has, and you never know how much somebody need that. Like, he was mentioning how we get on the phone and we just end up chopping it up for however long about whatever, you know. And it's just something about knowing your bro got your back and that you're seen and you're heard and you can share that stuff and you can ask, how you doing, bro? And you don't gotta just say, I'm good. You can be like, hey, bro, it's been rough. And then talk about it and have a listening ear and even tell your brother, like, that you love him. You know, you ain't got to pause. You ain't got to know Diddy.
Yeah,
you ain't got to get your mind out together.
I say,
like,
yeah, it's that part be understood. And
it's like, nah, bro, like, I really do love you, dog. Like, real talk. Or, bro, I ain't talked to you in a minute. I miss you, bro. Like, dang, we used to really, we got to chop it up. Like, and that's cool. Just showing genuine love. And it ain't nothing crazy. It ain't nothing funny. And it really does. I know for me, it makes all the difference. So I encourage everybody, especially young black males, man, to just love on your brother and get out of that mindset of you got to do it by yourself or you got to be hard or you can't be vulnerable or open up or be transparent. Because if I wasn't able to be transparent with him in certain moments, I would have missed out on getting stuff that I needed, or I might not even be here because I just would have been like a pressurized ball of emotions, not even able to let it out. Or I might have made a decision based off feelings because I wasn't thinking clearly. It's been plenty of times where he's helped. I know other people that he's helped think clearly and make better decisions just being a listening ear. But that all starts from being able to open up. So I definitely want to salute you for that, bro. And just leave
likewise
that with all the young people.
Oh, man. I think it's only right since you tied it all together so eloquently with both of our mantras, man. Like, I echo the same thing. I genuinely appreciate you for our, what we built for over 8 years now, and this is still only the beginning.
For real.
I promise what y'all about to see going forward is
keep your eyes open.
Is crazy even for my eyes in the terms of, like, where I know the partnerships we're going to be doing in the future. Mm-hmm. Only possible by God.
Yeah.
But, man, tying all that together, man, definitely appreciate you having me. Like I said, definitely love you, bro. And this is Amos from Mantras, No Ceilings, Just Levels. Been here with Akil Sanders on Against the Grain.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all for tuning in. Another episode of Against the Grain. See y'all next week. Peace.
Oh, y'all. Y'all. That's the one. Money. That's the one.
Money line.